reading from verses 3 through to 9. I think it was in the 11:15 service a couple of weeks ago where I challenged some people to try to learn all the books of the Bible in the 21 days of prayer and fasting, to give yourself to learn all of the order of all the books of the Bible. I often tell the story about when I was a child and we were on our way to Melbourne, and I was with my mum, and my mum's friend was in the car as well, and I desperately wanted a budgie. That's a small little parrot. They weren't very expensive, but my mum's friend, she said, well, if you can learn all the books of the Bible, or in order, the 66 books of the Bible before we get to Melbourne, I'll buy you a budgie. And so I did it, and I've never forgotten the 66 books. I can still recite them all, and I got the budgie. The budgie's long gone, but the books of the Bible are still in my head. Amen. And so I encourage you. And it's one thing, often because we use phones these days, that we're using the table of contents and we wouldn't know whether Samuel comes before Exodus or Exodus after Samuel or all of those things. But it's important that we know the books of the Bible, so we're not looking in the table of contents and going back and forth in our Bible. I know if you're a new Christian, that's going to be where you start. But let's learn how to use our swords. And so I challenge somebody to learn the 66 books of the Bible. You know, I was thinking, we can learn things. Think about how many songs that you know. And you know all the lyrics, all right? I remember I learned the periodic table by singing it. Maybe you can learn the books of the Bible by singing them as well. But there's a challenge. Start with Genesis and go all the way to Revelation. Amen. Mark chapter 14. Why did I say that? Well, I didn't want to see anybody looking in the Old Testament for the book of Mark, all right? God help us. Mark chapter 14, we're going to read from verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, which was very precious. And she broke the box. Everyone say, she broke the box. And she poured the ointment on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, leave her alone, or let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will may and whensoever you will you may do them good, but me you will not have always. She hath done what she could. Everyone say, what she could. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wherever or wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, Jesus says these words, wherever the gospel is preached, okay, then and now, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And so Jesus gave an instruction. He said, wherever you preach the gospel, don't forget to talk about this lady. She has done a good thing. She did what she could. While others murmured against her, while others said, she's wasting it, she's crazy, Jesus said, remember it, make a memorial and speak of it whenever you preach the gospel. Now, I know we're coming up to our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Last week, I spoke about seeking the face of God. I'm going to continue to stay in that vein as we prepare ourselves, and I want to speak today. God seeks worshipers. God seeks worshipers. Lord, we love you. We just thank you so much for your word today. Lord God, Lord, anoint me to bring the word that you would have me bring. Lord, help me not to get into in the way of what you want to do. Lord God, let faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. God seeks worshipers. You may be seated. I'll make it very clear this morning that in this time of prayer and fasting, which we're about to embark on, the purpose is not just to be hungry, not just to get up early, but our purpose is to seek God. I talked about seeking His face. You know, a lot of times we seek the solution, but the solution is to seek His face. Our purpose is to seek God, and I pray that you would seek God like you have never sought Him before. It doesn't matter how long you've been serving God, Brother Often. Doesn't matter how long, but you can seek His face and you can know more about God than you've ever known before. You see, living for Jesus is like a deep bed of nuggets where if you just keep digging, you're going to keep finding the nuggets. Because knowing God is an endless pursuit in our life. Worship, the true nature of worship is in fact to seek God's face. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, "Call unto me," the prophet Jeremiah says, "call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And there's some important words right here. These are the words seek. These are the words call. God says, seek me, call me. We know the Bible says that if we don't ask, we won't have. If we don't knock, He won't open. If we don't seek, we won't find. And so that is a very important principle that you must understand. As great as God is, He can only be found if you will seek Him out. As great as your need may be, He will only answer your need if you will call on Him. You know, He is omniscient. I mentioned that word before, but that simply means that God knows everything. And you know, He knows that you're outside the door. But His word says, He says, if you don't knock, I can't open the door. God knows that you don't have the answer. He knows exactly where you're at, that you're stuck, whatever it is, that you don't have the answer. God knows that, but unless you don't seek, if you don't seek, you won't find it. And so this is why we're going into this season of seeking God and knocking and calling upon Him and asking. God says, I know you're confused, but if you don't ask, I can't answer you. You see, God is a gentleman in every sense of the word, that He will not force Himself on any one of us. Ask, seek, call. And in these 21 days, many people will turn and seek God, and they will find Him in a way that they have never known Him before. But sadly, much of Christianity has become more about merchandising the gospel, where people are seeking everything except seeking God. I mean, they're seeking, you know, blessings, and there's nothing wrong with God blessing us. But you ought not to seek the blessings more than you seek the blesser. There's a lot of people at His hands, but not many people seeking His face. Let us be a people that seek the face of God. That's why the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. There's a lie from hell that I want to expose today. Luke chapter 8 verse 49. Here it is. Jesus was on His way to heal Jairus' sick daughter. When He was on His way there, He was interrupted. A woman came and she had the issue of blood. She pushed through the crowd as He was pressing on to go and see Jairus' daughter. And during that delay and during that interruption, people from Jairus' home city, they arrived to inform him that, Jairus, your daughter's dead. In Luke chapter 8, verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Jairus, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Trouble not the master. And I believe they are troubling words, because somebody came to Jairus when his daughter was in need, in the greatest time of grief of his life. And they came and they said, Jairus, your daughter has passed. Don't go troubling Jesus with your need. Don't go troubling him. Don't go wasting his time. God is not interested. She's already gone. You see, hell would love to come to you with that same words. Whatever you're facing, hell would love to come to you and say, you know what? It's too late. It's just too terrible. The situation has gone too far. Hell would love to come to you and say, don't you go bothering Jesus with your need. Let me tell you, God loves us too much. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He comes. He says, come and seek me. Come and call on me. Ask and knock and seek. You see, it is the adversary that likes to use those words. Do not bother the master because the time is past. Let me tell you, we can come to him with our petitions. We can come to him with our supplications. And we know that God hears us. And don't buy into the lies of the devil. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And I would say that no better name has been given somebody. God wants us to seek him and ask him. I want to tell you today, you don't bother the master. His shoulders are big enough to carry any burden that you may put on him when you call on him. And so worship. God seeks worshipers. You say, well, I was in worship service today, Pastor. Funny that, you know. We call our first part of the service, we call it a worship service. And that's just the way things are. We call it a worship service. I don't know what else to call it. They used to call it a song service, but it's definitely not just a song service. You call it praise and worship, I guess, as well. But around here, we call it a worship service. But sometimes by just calling it a worship service, we don't really do it justice, because in a worship service, there is praise, there is thanksgiving, and there is worship. And they're not all the same. You see, there are all of those themes, and we tend to just lump them all together and just call it a worship service. Well, thanksgiving is different to worship. Thanksgiving is when we reflect on what God has done in our life. We reflect on the things that he has done, and we give thanks. We give thanks to him. I believe that the attitude of thanksgiving is something that needs to be established before you even walk through those doors. When you wake up in the morning, before you come to church, start to dwell on all the things that you're thankful for. And then when you come through those doors, you can do what the Bible says, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and enter into his courts with praise. But you can't enter unless you've got thanksgiving. And so when you come to church and we begin to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving, yes, the words that you are singing are simply an overflow of what you are thankful in your heart. And so if you've got a problem with praise and you've got a problem with thanksgiving, then obviously there's no thanksgiving in your heart. God deserves all of the thanks in everything. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And so there's, in a worship service, there's thanksgiving, but there's also praise. Praise can include thanksgiving, but it's more than just giving thanks for what God has done. Praise is praising God because of who he is. We can praise God independent of our circumstances. You thank God for what he's done, and if the circumstances are good, you're going to have lots to thank God for. Even if they're not, you still got something to thank him for. But praise is not just about what God has done. Praise is a realization and a result of who God is. And this is why we have to praise God all the time. The Bible says if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. Because God is God. We are praising him for who he is. And you may have a bad day, but God doesn't have a bad day. You may feel down, but God's not down. You may feel in trouble, but God's never in trouble. Praise is the part of our service where we praise him for who he is. Psalm 113 verse 3 says, from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We have got a reason to praise God every moment of the day. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that has breath, put your hand in front of your mouth and just blow. You feel anything? That's good if you didn't. Dead. But if you've got breath, the Bible says you ought to praise God. Why? Because he's worthy of the praise. But and that's because of who he is. He is great and greatly to be praised. But worship takes some time to get into. That's why worship songs tend to be at the end of the song service, because sometimes we walk in the church and we're all flustered, you know. We were leaving the house, we kicked the dog and whatever else. I don't know what's going on. Hope he didn't kick the dog, but fighting, kids fighting all the way to church in the car, fighting over who gets to sit in the front, fighting over, he's on my side, he touched me. And mother's going through the ironing pile, throwing stuff up. Where's your shirt, Billy? We walk into church in the front door. Good morning. Lovely to see you. We walk into church and our mind is boiling, our heart is boiling. And you know, it takes a little while to get into it, you know. We may be standing there, but we're certainly not feeling it, you know. Worship takes time to prepare. Worship is a deeper level in God. You see, the only thing you need to praise God is breath. However, to worship God truly, you lay down your life. It's going to cost you something. You see, worship will always cost you something. Worship comes from the two words, worth-ship. When you worship God, you are attributing worth to him. And God wants his people to worship him. The omniscient, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the everywhere present God, who knows everything and has everything, yet he seeks one thing. He seeks worshipers. Exodus chapter 34 verse 14, it says, thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. He says, I don't want you to attribute worth to any other God. I want you to worship me. But even more than wanting, he seeks worshipers, because John chapter 4 verse 23 says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God seeks worshipers. Worship will cost you something. Even the first mention of worship in the Bible tells us about worship, because Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac. And when he went to go and make that journey up onto that mountain, he turned to his servant and said, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. Worship. The premise and the principle of worship is right there in the first mention. Worship will cost you something. There are dozens of scriptures all throughout the Bible which speak of worship as bowing down, bringing offerings, falling down, kneeling, our face on the ground. The Bible says even to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You see, when you live a holy life separate from the world, you are worshiping God. Revelation chapter 4 verse 10 says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. They're worshiping before the throne. And here it is. And they cast their crowns before the throne. All of their accomplishments, all their achievements, everything they value, maybe everything that they have lived for, everything. The Bible says that before the throne, they cast their crowns. And what did they say? It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. They cast their crowns. You see, worshiping God doesn't preserve our dignity. And I understand that in the house of the Lord, everything should be done decently and in order. But worship doesn't preserve our dignity. Why? Because it is about honoring His divinity. And even the casting their crowns. You see, uninhibited worship, uninhibited worship may seem crazy in the human mind. But let me tell you, uninhibited worship is normal around the throne of God. It's normal. Pouring out our hearts to Him in worship, lifting our hands in surrender to Him in worship, it is normal around the throne in heaven. I want to tell somebody today, it's okay to be passionate in your worship. It's okay to be passionate about worshiping God. And one of the best things you can do is to come into church and in that time of worship, to lift your hands and close your eyes and just feel like it's just you and God. That's why we close our eyes, so I can't see anyone else. I can't be distracted by anything else. I have just come into His presence to worship Him. And we lift up our voice. We may sing loud. There may be tears coming down our face. We may bow before Him. You see, all of those things are normal around the throne. In the Old Testament, they brought a whole offering, a whole burnt offering in worship. But under the new covenant, we bring our life as worship. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. Worship is not just the sound you make. It's the life that you live. God seeks worshipers. Let's say that together. God seeks worshipers. David was promoted. Why? Because he was a worshiper and a seeker. Saul was rejected by God. Why is that? Because Saul was seeking a position and he wasn't seeking God. And so David said, you know what? I'm going to seek a worshiper. And God went looking for a worshiper and a seeker in 1 Samuel 13, verse 13 and 14. He goes and he finds David. And when he finds somebody who will seek him, he says, you're a man after my own heart, David. You're a seeker. He will, and God begins to bless David and he promotes David. And let me tell you, favor comes to those who worship God. Favor comes to those who seek God. Listen to the words that David writes. One thing I desire and one thing I seek. One thing. That I may dwell in the presence of God. You see, David was a seeker. David was a worshiper. He said in Psalm 42, he says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, I'm so thirsty, I've got a drink of the Lord. He's a seeker and he's a worshiper. He says, early in the morning will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth, Psalm 63. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in thy sanctuary. You see, God rejects Saul, and then he goes and seeks a worshiper. David was a worshiper. One of the few things that God ever sought was a worshiper. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God said to David, he said, David, I can see that you're a worshiper. I can see that you are a seeker. I can see that there is a hunger and thirst inside of you. And God says, I'm going to make you king. Now, what did David have going for him other than being a worshiper? Well, not much. He didn't receive any training to be a king. He wasn't groomed to be a king. He didn't grow up in the courts. He didn't know the protocol. He was unknown by most people because he was just out in the backside of the desert looking after sheep with sheep poo between his toes. Nobody knew much about him at all. But God knew, because God seeks worshipers. And you may feel like God doesn't know where you are, but when you begin to worship Him, God knows exactly where you are, because He seeks worshipers. People may overlook you. But if you would get in your prayer closet, if you would go seeking God, people may forget about you, but if you would praise God and if you would worship God, God will find you. God knows where you are if you are a worshiper, because God seeks worshipers. And so in this 21 days, I encourage you, pray to God and worship Him. Seek His face while He may be found. God seeks worshipers. What about this lady we read about? As they sat there at meat, the Bible says, they were eating in the house of Simon the leper. By the way, he had already been healed of leprosy. The world was still calling him Simon the leper, but he had been healed. And suddenly, as they're sitting there at dinner, these men, if you understand the culture, it would be quite a shock, because suddenly a woman walks into the room. And she had so many different things written about what she did in the different Gospels, because the Gospels, all three of the Gospels, write about this account. And they all said different things about her, different modes of worship. One of the writers said she anointed his head. Another said she anointed his feet. Another said she wept. Another said she let down her hair. I've come to tell you that she did all of those things. And suddenly she comes into the room and she begins to worship God. She gets there in the presence of Jesus and she begins to worship Him. She drops to her knees. She sank to the floor in the presence of the Lord and she began to worship Him in holy abandonment. You know, the greatest worshipers are those who have been through something. You see, you can't learn true worship in Bible school. It's not something you learn in a lesson in Sunday school or in your midweek Bible study or in your personal devotion. You see, true worship comes from the heart of those who have been through something and they love Him so much because He picked them up out of the miry clay. Oh, the only way you can worship like that is if you've been through something. And she falls at His feet. People are murmuring and gossiping. What's going on? What's her motive? What on earth is she doing? No doubt she would have felt the tension and the controversy in the room, but she worshiped anyway. She didn't just worship with the words, but she brought that alabaster box, that very expensive alabaster with the expensive ointment, and she break it. Let me tell you, she loved Jesus, and loving will make you a giving person. She said, I love Him and I've got to give. And I remember, you know, when I first started going out with Melanie, I wanted to give her stuff, you know, buy her a vase. Or I think the first thing I bought for her, I'm sorry to say this, Kingsley's chicken. Remember? Awesome chips. I took it a bit too literally, you know. I thought, well, there's nothing better than the awesome chips. But loving will make you giving. And don't tell me you love someone if you've never given them something. You see, love ventilates itself through giving. That's how love is expressed. And she came with her love for the Master, and she came and broke that alabaster box full of ointment. And they said, you know what? What a waste. This is so undignified. Unrestrained worship. Come on, everything was in order here. It could have been sold for... Somebody begins to kind of take the higher moral ground and they say, you know what? This is crazy. This could have been sold for a lot of money. We could have helped the poor people, all of those sort of things. But let me tell you, but when you see Jesus and when you worship Jesus, business doesn't matter. All of those things don't matter. She gets the box. She looks at Jesus. She looks at Jesus. She looks at the box. This was her life savings. It was everything that was important to her. Maybe it was her dowry. Maybe it was her hope chest. Maybe this is what she'd been saving for a rainy day. But you know what? As I worship, my values change. What was important to her was no longer important. What used to worry us no longer worries us. Even Paul said these words, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered a loss in all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. You see, when you're in the presence of God, everything else is like dung. And she takes that valuable thing and she breaks it. Everyone say, she breaks it. Jesus counted this event so significant that he said, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever it is preached, I want you to tell them about this woman. This woman teaches us the personal expense of real worship. Real worship will cost you something. You see, she broke it at his feet. She broke everything that she had been holding back. She broke everything that she had been saving. He is, and I tell you today, God is jealous of your alabaster box. He wants you to attribute worth to him. He seeks worshipers. It's the only thing that God seeks. He seeks worshipers. So give him your time. Give him your talent. Give him your treasure. Where are you spending all those things? What do you value more than anything in the world? She walks into the room. It was a hostile atmosphere. She walks into that environment where she's seen as someone controversial, not even accepted. And she goes in and she ignores the rejection. She ignores the hostility and the controversy. And she walks over to Jesus and she begins to worship him. Just like breaking through the veil into the Holy of Holies. She gets down on the floor and she worships him in holy abandonment. She pours the oil on his head. She pours the oil on his feet. You see, the power of worship cannot be seen with the eyes, but the power of worship changes the atmosphere. Changes the atmosphere. As she poured out that ointment, let me tell you, that place smelled different. The atmosphere changed as she began to worship Jesus. And Jesus begins to correct all of those who are causing trouble and looking down at her. He said, this is so important that when you go preach, you tell everybody about this woman. You see, praise and worship, especially worship, changes the atmosphere. It may be invisible. You can't even see it. However, praise and worship changes the spirit realm. It's the aroma of worship that things begin to change in our life. And if you need change in your life today, I want to tell you, it begins with worship. It begins with holy abandonment. It begins by making God number one and attributing complete worth to him and worshiping him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And maybe you're in a hostile situation today. Maybe you're like this woman maybe you're even living in a hostile house. I want to tell you, your worship will change the atmosphere. Maybe you've been asking God to change things. Let me tell you, start worshiping God. You've been saying, God, where are you? I need you to change some things in my life. And God says, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you to seek. I've been waiting on you to ask. I've been waiting on you to knock. I've been waiting on you to come and worship me. If the musician could come. You see, if you want to get to where you need to be in God, let me tell you, God is waiting on you. God is waiting on us. And there are times of visitation where God would come and reveal himself and we get a glimpse of the power of God. But God is seeking worshipers. Don't let it be said that we come into the house of God and go through the motions. Don't let it be said that we come to church to be seen of men. Let me tell you, we come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to bow down before him in holy abandon. We come to pour out our love and our praise and our worship upon him. And one more thing. It's important that we realize this, that she didn't open the alabaster box. She broke the alabaster box. Because if you open something, you can close it. When you break something, it's poured out. You can't go back. And I pray that we would break our alabaster box. If you want a breakthrough, it's going to take some breaking on your behalf. And say, God, I'm not in this for a season. I'm not in it for the blessings. God, I break myself before you in worship. Break the box in the presence of the Lord. Let's stand today. God seeks worshipers. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Let me tell you, worship will bring you out, but it'll also begin to impact those who are around you as well. And maybe you come to church and you're a worshiper. Let me tell you, it's very important that you're a worshiper, because while you begin to worship God, others around you can be set free as well. I believe it with my whole heart. God seeks worshipers. If you need something from God today, let me tell you, let's worship Him from the bottom of our heart. We're going to sing a song in a moment, but I want to invite you to come and to worship God at this altar by bowing your knee, by lifting your hands, by pouring out your heart, by breaking open your vessel and saying, God, I worship you with my whole heart. Lord, I'm not just opening so I can close it again. Lord, I come before you in worship, oh God. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we surrender to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.